this morning, amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter number 7. I appreciate Brother Phillips, the church here. I appreciate this camp meeting. Every year that we've gotten to come, it's been a tremendous blessing to us. I believe it's a great inspiration to all of our holiness movement to see where the Lord has brought this church from, see what great things that the Lord has done. And it inspires me to keep on going, keep on preaching the gospel, amen. Micah chapter number 7, very familiar scripture, verse 8 and 9. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Amen. I want to preach this morning on what can I do with my failure. What can I do with my failure? I feel like sometimes our view of failure is not always perfectly aligned with Scripture. And I want to be careful how I preach this morning, but sometimes I believe in order to maintain our holiness image, we sometimes conveniently neglect certain aspects of biblical teaching. In other words, if it don't fit in the way we want to preach it, we just don't preach it. If it don't fit into our doctrine, we just leave it alone, we just leave it out. The Bible has several aspects that it deals with about failure. Amen. First of all, I'd like to look at what the Scriptures say, and we're not going to talk about all the Scriptures. There's no way what God deals with about failure. But first of all, I want you to know the Bible explicitly teaches that God is able to keep us from falling. That God is able to keep us from failures in our life. Amen. I'd just like to read a couple of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 10. There is no temptation that taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so there is absolutely no excuse for any failures within our life. According to the Word of God, God is powerful and He is able. He will make a way of escape for every temptation that we come against. Amen. Hebrews 2 tells us, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. 2 Peter 2 said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And then one more, Jude says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. And to present you faultless, amen, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I believe the Bible teaches us explicitly that God is able to keep us from falling. That we have no excuse. I don't care who it is. Nobody that's ever fallen, nobody that's ever had a failure, nobody that's ever made a mistake could say that God did not have the power or God did not have the ability to keep them from falling. Amen. Another thing that we see the Bible teaches us about failure, not only God's ability to keep us from failure, keep us from falling, keep us from making mistakes, but it gives us our obligations that we have, amen, that in order for us to be able to stand and not to fall. In Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. That is an obligation we have, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. James 4 and 7 said, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil. That is an obligation we have, and he will flee from you. Galatians 5 said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are many, many scriptures. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Submit yourself to God. Crucify the flesh. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are many scriptures that points to our obligations. Amen. That behind and inhaled within those scriptures is a promise from God that if we do those things and they are in us and they abound, that we shall never fall. Amen. If we fulfill our obligations and do what God has told us to in His Word, that we'll never ever fall. Amen. God's Word teaches us about failure. Amen. That God is able to keep us from falling. It teaches us our obligations, that if we do those things, brother, we will never ever fall. Amen. But what about when we do fall? Now, we want to stop sometimes preaching right there, and we don't want to deal with the aspects of failure that the Scriptures teach us, that when somebody actually fails God. Amen. Now, I know I'd like to be able to stand up here, and I'd like to be able to say that since I've been saved, that I've never, ever failed the Lord in any capacity whatsoever. I'd like to be able to say that. I'd like to even be able to say, since I was sanctified, well, however you want to believe it, we all believe you've got to have it, but since I've been sanctified, that I have never in any capacity failed the Lord. I'd like to be able to say that. I'd like to even be able to say that looking back on 2004, amen, I'd like to be able to say I didn't fail the Lord any way, form, shape, or fashion during the course of this year. But I'm just sorry I can't stand here and say that I have not failed Him in capacity even this very year. Amen. Amen. I know what the Bible teaches, that God is able to keep us from falling. I know what the Bible teaches, that if I do these things, I shall never fall. But when I look at the reality of my life, and I look at the reality of many other people of the family of God, I see that even though God is able to keep me from falling, and even though I know what to do, and it's been preached to me, and I strive to do that, and I want to be perfect, and I want never to fail God. Amen. But the reality is I have failed Him at times, and I really believe the reality is you have failed Him at times. Now, I don't know, perhaps there's somebody here that can't relate to what I'm saying. Amen. And I'd like to know about that, because, amen, I'd like to really lift you up and pray that God would continue to bless you. But I'm just wondering if anybody here that since you've been saved, that you haven't failed God in some capacity. Anybody? Even since you've been sanctified. Has anybody here raised your hand? I haven't failed. I haven't been a failure in some capacity. Because you see, Brother Mitchell mentioned this morning, he said lust is not always something that's sensual. And so sometimes we don't understand lust. Sometimes we don't understand failure. Failure is not always committing adultery. Failure is not always committing some sin that is open and up front in the sight of everybody to see. But sometimes our failures, before they ever reach the magnitude that a man will commit adultery with another woman, and before they ever reach the magnitude of leaving the church and completely backsliding and reaching a point that you no longer care what anybody, any people think about you, that you just leave the house of God, failures take place within our life in the things that we ought to do that we fail to do, the times we ought to pray and we fail to pray. The times we ought to go and we fail to go. The times that we ought to speak and we fail to speak. And it is those small failures, amen, that continually abound within our heart that leads us to the failures that we shake our head at and we say, how in the world could it ever have happened? But it didn't start there. It started with a small failure. It started with something insignificant that we would not deal with, amen. I just tell you one of my failures, that last night while Brother MacDonald was preaching, my mind was kind of in and out of the service. And some couple years ago, probably 2.5 years ago now, many of you know we started a church, was in a storefront for about 5 years, and was building a church. And you know how you go through all that. We had a small congregation, had just a few people, very little money. Amen. Many things transpired during the course of those 2 years. Amen. Pressures mounting upon him. All of you pastors understand that. Amen. One day, Brother Noah, you and Brother Gazee. Is it Gazee? Kuzzy. I'm sorry. Kutzu. All right. Kuzzy. I was out there around the church working. Been working a full-time job. And then working on the church in the evenings on Saturdays, you know how that goes. And the pressures are mounted on me. And that day, I don't even know why Brother Noah and Brother Kazee was visiting our area, but they was passing through, I think. They stopped by the church. I want to tell you about one of my failures. Amen. And while I was there working, and things was on my mind, I was right there, I mean, just standing right on the edge. And Brother Noah, Brother Kazee came in there, and they began to talk to me. You remember that day, Brother Noah? Amen. You came in there and was talking to me. Brother Noah was just as jolly and happy as he always is. And if there's anything such as a real Santa Claus, he would probably fit the picture in more ways than one. Amen. Amen. But they came that day to visit. And I was out there in the church working, Brother King. And I was just, my mind was pressured. And he began to talk, and he was just saying, he didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say anything that was inappropriate whatsoever. But I remember that day, the things that he did said, amen. I know God was able to keep me from saying something I shouldn't have said. I know the power of God was able. I know also that if I'd have prayed more that day and I'd have crucified the flesh better and I'd have done everything I was supposed to do, maybe I wouldn't have acted like I did, amen. Now, I didn't, don't keep in mind I had a cussing spell. I didn't, amen. No, I didn't. But I said some things. I don't remember what I said, but I spoke harshly. I spoke and it was not in the Spirit of Christ. And I went out. I remember going outside. First time I ever met Brother Kazee. Amen. And I went outside. I remember weeping and crying. Me and Brother North talking. He was encouraging my heart. But that was a failure. I said some things that I should not have said, or rather in a way I shouldn't have said them. But I remember it was a failure. And I have never forgot that failure. Every time I see Brother Kazee, I remember that failure. Because I thought, Lord, what's that brother think about me? Lord, I have marred my image in his sight as a preacher. That's a failure. Even last year, I came up to Brother Jerry. Is that better? That's easier. To Brother Jerry, and I apologized again. You remember that, Brother Jerry? You know why? Because every time I see him, my mind goes to that failure. It goes to that failure. Brother, I want to tell you, everybody, sometimes even the Peters among us, amen, they won't eat when the Gentiles, when the brethren come down. Sometimes even the Barnabas among us, the sons of consolations, get carried away with the dissimulation. Amen. Even the very best among us reaches that point where we sometimes fail the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I'm not talking about failures that are altogether so sinful and that we are in shock about, but these small failures are what leads us up to that. Amen. You know the reason why we have some failures is because of our humanity. Amen. Our brother preached some about it. He said that we're all human. Amen. And within our humanity is that element of the flesh. Even though we're sanctified, amen, we must kill him every day. Amen. Even though, amen, that we're saved. But I'll tell you, just because you're saved don't mean you're superhuman. It doesn't mean you'll never get under pressure. It doesn't mean you'll never reach a point, amen, where off the cuff you'll say something or do something or act some way or ever be tempted or ever be pulled on by the world. Sanctification doesn't even make you superhuman. Amen. Brother, sometimes there are failures in our life. Amen. That we must deal with those failures. Amen. God, I believe, understands. I believe the Scripture teaches that God understands our humanity. In the book of Psalm 103, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth our frame and He pities us. His mercies, His compassions fail not. That's the only reason we're not consumed. Because He remembers what we are, where we came from. He remembers our humanity. He knows that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so sometimes He even uses this humanity and this flesh as a means to make sure that He gets all of the glory and He gets all of the honor. Amen. I believe He understands that you and I, there are times that we reach that point that we may fail. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is talking to His disciples, He tells them, pray, pray, pray that ye enter not into temptation. I know sometimes we want to be so super spiritual that we're ready to bust into a bar room and stay sanctified. We feel like we can go to any place and do anything, and because we're so holy and so pure and we're so full of holiness that it doesn't matter, nothing's going to tempt us anymore. We feel like we've reached that point of such sanctification, amen, that we'll never be able to fall. But I do believe it said, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Amen, there are too many of us right now, you've got to a point, amen, that you feel like you can never fail. Amen, that's whenever we feel like we can have a television and it won't affect us. That's when you get the feeling like you can have the internet in your house and you can watch things and it will not affect you. When you reach that point, amen, in your heart, that you can never ever fail, that there is no possibility. I know God's able to keep you, and I know you're supposed to stay sanctified, but the reality is we got preachers backsliding, and we got people failing, and we got people committing adultery, and it's starting with small little failures. Amen. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. And so he goes beyond just praying not to enter into temptation, but also to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because your spirit is willing. You really want to live for God. And I don't condemn anybody's want to in here. I mean, I'm not condemning our want to serve God. Our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Even Brother King, when the Lord taught His disciples to pray, He taught them after this manner. Brother Salt preaches on the Lord's Prayer so wonderful. But in part of that prayer, He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, don't let me be tempted. Why does the Bible tell us to flee temptation? Why does the Bible tell us to, amen, eschew evil, cleave to that which is good, amen, abstain from all appearance of evil, because you're still human, you're still flesh, you can still fail. Don't ever get to the place where you feel like you're so saved and so sanctified that you don't have to pray and you don't have to daily crucify the flesh and deny yourself. Amen. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Period. There's a period right there. The sentence stops. It's not God's will for us to fail Him. It's not God's will for us to sin. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And I'm not as nearly smart as Brother Mitchell. Don't have many books as you do. But the best I can understand, He does not change and begin to talk to the sinner in that next statement. But He's continuing to talk to my little children, to you and to me. And if any man sin, oh God, we're not supposed to sin. We're not supposed to fail. We're not supposed to make a mistake. No, we're not. It's not God's will that you do. But the fact is, you have done it, and I have done it, and we must deal with that element of failure. Amen. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sin. Who's writing that? The Apostle John. For our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. And so within that clause, there is that possibility that even though God does not want us to sin, and God's will is for us to stay holy and pure, but He realizes the element of our humanity, that we are susceptible, not liable, but it is possible that we may fail our God. Now I want to tell you, nobody wants to fail. But the fact is, sometimes we do. And what the Lord dealt with me about was this. We must deal with our failure. What can I do about my failure? First thing that the Lord really dealt with my heart about is that we must deal with failure from the pulpit. Not preachers in the pulpit failing, but we must deal with failure, this element of failure from the pulpit to our people. And I was doing something carnal. I was deer hunting sitting in my shooting stand. When the Lord began to deal with me about this, I was praying to myself, talking to the Lord. And this is what the Lord dealt with me about. We have preached so hard to our people not to fail. And we have preached so hard against those who have failed. We have run them down. We've got on the holiness wire from coast to coast that our people are afraid to admit their failures. They see what takes place to those that has already failed and fallen. And they're afraid to come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I've made a mistake and I've said something, done something, and I need God to help me overcome this." We're afraid to overcome our failures. And so instead of overcoming them, we cover them up. I'm really persuaded to believe that many, even our brethren that have fallen into deep sin and backslidden, that if when they first made their first failure, if they had dealt with it right there, if they had overcome that failure right there, if they would have had a preacher that said, "You're not supposed to sin. You don't need to sin. But if you sin, you need to deal with it right there." And we give place to people who fall, not to advocate it, not to push it, not to encourage it, but to, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And I'm really afraid there's been times I've preached in such a manner, I've preached it so hard and so tight, and rightfully so, but I failed to leave an avenue for somebody to come back to God when they fail. I remember years ago, Brother MacDonald was still my pastor, and I remember, Brother MacDonald, some tragic event happened. And I remember you preaching, "There is a way back. There is a way back." And so failure must be dealt with from my pulpit. I'm persuaded right here in this service, there's people you have failed in some areas of your life. And you covered it up. For weeks, my heart has been heavy, and I know Brother Gentry's coming right after me. And I'm going to finish preaching. I'm going to get out of the way. But my heart's been heavy all night long. I tossed and turned what little bit of time I slept because I felt like there's people that have some failures in their life that you will not deal with. You're afraid of what people are going to say. You're afraid of how you're going to be run down. You're afraid of the image it's going to destroy of your peers. But you ought to be more afraid of where that failure is going to lead you. Of what's going to take place if you don't deal with it. I felt like the Lord dealt with me. We got to deal with failure from the pulpit. And we must deal with our failures in our own personal lives. We've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with it. We can't cover it up. If we cover our failures, if we cover our faults, if we cover our mistakes, we will not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen. I like the spirit of Micah. Amen. Micah here is a prophet, a man of God. And we quote verse 8 oftentimes, but we forget about verse number 9. And in verse number 8, he said, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Amen. When I fall, I shall arise. And I hope that you understand this morning, I do not advocate failing God. I do not advocate sin. I do not advocate making mistakes. But I do realize, amen, that the reality is that I have made some mistakes. I have failed. And I'm even willing to admit there have been times that I have sinned against the Lord. Amen. But there must be some time in your heart you wake up and realize you've got to deal with it. You've got to get it under the blood. You've got to pray back through. You've got to rise up again against it. Amen. You cannot allow that failure in your heart, that failure in your life to remain there. Right now you're thinking about, well, what's people going to think? What's Brother North Phillips going to think about
if I come to Him and say, "Preacher, I said some things. Preacher, I looked at some things. Preacher, I done some things that I shouldn't do." Amen. Yeah, you may have to step off the platform. You may have to get out of a Sunday school class. There may be some things that change in your life, and rightfully so. But if you don't deal with that failure, you're going to backslide and get out of church and go to hell. Amen.
Can you lift your hands and praise Him just a moment? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What was the difference between David and Saul when both of them had sinned against the Lord? And probably within our thoughts, David's sin was so much greater. Then Saul disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. He offered sacrifice when he shouldn't have, and he kept the best alive and Agag. But David committed adultery, murder, treachery, so many awful sins. But Saul was rejected, and David was forgiven and restored. And what was the difference? The difference was when the man of God came to Saul, and he said, "You've done this and this." He said, no, not me. I haven't done anything wrong. I've done everything that the Lord told me to do." And he tried to cover up his sin. But when the man of God came to David and pointed his finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man," he said, "I have sinned. Let the Lord do what seemeth right. I've sinned. I'm guilty." Nevertheless, the Lord hath put away thy sin, because he turned, confessed, and turned. Some years ago, and I'm going to turn it back to Brother Noah, Brother King, whoever, at Trinity, when we were still going there before we went to where we're at, the Holy Ghost spoke in a service. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I can't remember the exact words, Brother MacDonald, but you gave the interpretation that day. And the Holy Ghost said, he knew what you were doing, knew what those individuals were doing, and this is what he said, that if you will repent today, he said, I will hide your sin. He said, but if you don't, I'm going to bring it out in the open for everybody to see. You remember that? And I still believe that's the way the Holy Ghost works. There's a lot of failures I wouldn't dare stand and tell you about, because when I failed, I realized I failed and I repented. And my God was gracious enough to hide it under the blood and leave it there. But if I had overlooked that and covered it, eventually He would have revealed it for every eye to see. And isn't that what the Spirit of the Lord said here? Isn't that what the Holy Ghost just told us? Bow your heads with me just a moment. Lord, there's some failures right here. There's some mistakes right here. And I thank you for thy mercies and thy grace and thy compassion.
And Lord, we believe what the Spirit of the Lord spoke unto us today. That there are people covering their sin, and they shall not prosper. I thank You for Your Word that promises us You'll keep us, and I thank You for Your Word that teaches us how to live. But God, we must deal with our failures before they deal with us. We must overcome our failure before our failure overcomes us. And I'm praying, God, right now that Thy perfect will would be accomplished. Amen. Brother King.